Hello and welcome to the Institute of Leadership and Management's weekly podcast, where we discuss leadership issues which have made the news in recent days. This week we're focusing on events up to the 15th of February 2019. My name's Nick Scott, I'm an economist and academic working with the Institute of Leadership and Management, and I'm joined today by Kate Cooper, the Institute's Head of Research, Policy and Standards. Hello, Kate.
Hello, Nick.
Pret-a-Manger's charity wing, the Pret Foundation, was revealed to have partnered with homeless charity the West London Mission, working to improve the lot of the homeless and transition them back into work via Pret stores. Last year, the Duke of Cambridge sparked debate, arguing that charities need to do more to collaborate, share expertise and resources to generate greater benefits. Is this an example of CSR in action?
It's a very good example of a company like Pret, who from their outset have stood for certain values, great teamwork, fresh food, sourcing local ingredients, all sorts of things that Pret believe in. And one of the things they've felt very strongly about and have talked about is their commitment to alleviating homelessness. So by combining the undoubted business acumen of the Pret senior management team with their knowledge of those affected by homelessness, their understanding of the customers in this case, they can really make a difference. And I think CSR is changing. CSR has an internal and an external dimension. And whereas previously we might see that external CSR being about donations, volunteering, we're now seeing a bringing together of capabilities that are complementary and can make a much bigger difference, a much greater impact than were Pret just to make donation, however significant that donation would be.
In a late January piece with Director magazine, High Street doyenne Mary Portas effectively challenges the place of alpha individuals in leadership. While confessing to having displayed alpha traits herself for a period in the early 1990s, she takes time out to cite the limitations of Philip Green and Fred Goodwin, stating that there is a lack of empathy and something slightly sociopathic about alpha culture. So, are alpha types an anathema to modern organisations, or is there still a role for someone with these driven characteristics?
I think the heroic alpha leader has certainly had their day. There will always be those certain narcissistic individuals who, because they lack empathy essentially, they're not able to see that their success has been contributed to by many people. They might take credit for the efforts of others, and certainly they can have been central and significant. But where Mary Portas is talking about her alpha days, there seems to be what she was really talking about was a lack of sensitivity on her part to the needs and the feelings of the people that she worked with. But what she did bring, and I think there will always be a role for that, is a huge amount of energy, enthusiasm and real hard work and dedication to what she was trying to achieve. That doesn't sound as glamorous as alpha, but that I think is essentially what there will be an enduring need for. Tammy Erickson, in a recently published Drucker report, highlights how the leaders of the future are going to be people who can attract talent, who can make people want to work with them. And that, again, is where energy is very compelling.
Our third story this week asks the extent to which leaders should let their hearts rule their heads. In a recent Guardian interview, serial entrepreneur Doug Putman justified his acquisition of high street retailer HMV partly as a means of developing his recently discovered passion for listening to music on vinyl. Putman's took Canadian music brand Sunrise Records from 5 outlets to over 80 and has caught the bug for music retail. Clearly enthusiasm alone isn't enough, but is it a necessary condition?
I think the mistake some entrepreneurs certainly make when they set up is they think their passion, their interest for something is enough. But this example, we've got somebody with a track record of business success, recognises that he loves vinyl, very interested in the music business, but also self-aware enough to realise that that's not enough because his business background tells him it's not enough. He needs more. He needs people who understand the industry better than he does. And it's that willingness to learn or be aware of what's missing that's making this a success. It's not just him saying, I really love music, I'm going to buy a music store.
Well, consultant Susan O'Brien, writing in Forbes, counseled leaders to focus on those things they're good at, as opposed to merely have a passion for. She argues that you would have a much more realistic and achievable set of goals if you focus on your strengths and what you do well. Now, is that sound advice, or is it perhaps limiting ambition?
I think if we were to ask parents whether this was enough, we'd get so very many different sorts of responses. Just because somebody has natural talent or capability, is good at something, it doesn't mean that they enjoy doing it, and it certainly doesn't mean they want to make a career out of it. So it's the enjoying whatever it is that is one of the big drivers, because that makes you go the extra mile, that makes you care, that makes you want to make the venture succeed. And just being good and competent, well, even as I say, it doesn't sound as compelling as caring passionately about something. And as I've just said earlier, if you recognize that passion isn't enough and you need the other attributes and capabilities, well, then the passion has a brilliant role to play.
Well, finally this week, we have a short outside broadcast clip from the Learning Technologies Conference at Excel in London's Docklands, where Kate was part of the Institute's delegation promoting the mission and profile of the Institute to public and members alike.
Hello, this is Kate Cooper here at the Learning Technologies Conference. I'm at the Institute of Leadership and Management's splendid stand in the Institute colours, illustrating their five dimensions. And I'm just now going to have a word with our Head of Commercial Development, Gaynor Lewis, and the newest recruit to the Institute family, Katie Clark. Well, Gaynor, how have you found today?
It's been splendid. We've had a busy morning with everyone interested in leadership conversations around leadership development and actually how they can help to improve practice within their organisations and their teams. I think what's been most popular from our perspective has been a keen interest in our Edge magazine and our Institute Approved scheme.
Katie, would you like to add from your new and fresh perspective on joining, as I said, the Institute family?
Well, I don't think there's much more I can add to what Gaynor's said, other than you can really sense the enthusiasm for what we're doing and the interest coming from the attendees of the conference. So I think it's been a really positive day.
Thank you very much. Katie, as it happens, we have somebody at the stand now, and I'm going to ask him what drew him to our stand.
Yes, what's very interesting is to see how the Institute sees its position in management development in the country in a very practical way, and also as a part of a larger network of organisations who are interested in bringing management thinking forward.
Thank you very much.
Well, we're out of time for another week. Thanks to Kate and guests for their contributions this time around. Please go to the website www.institutelm.com to find out more about the Institute of Leadership and Management and subscribe to this podcast series via the website, iTunes or Spotify. We'll be back for more at the same time next week.